Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
Just invite your presence in here this morning. Lord, I pray that you forgive me as I am a sinner. I pray, Lord, that you forgive us as a congregation, as a church. Lord, we don't deserve to be in your presence, Lord, but I am begging you that you step into my place. Lord, let it be less of me and more of you. Jesus, when I'm speaking, Lord, I don't want to speak, Jesus. I pray in your name, Jesus Christ, that you guide us through your word today, and that you speak to us, Jesus. Speak to me, speak through me. I pray, God, that you open our ears, all of our ears, so that way we can hear but listen to your word. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. All the glory goes to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. But before I get started on that, I love Christmas. Miss Ginger, like, everything you do with the flowers and the arrangements, the tree and all this, I love what she does here. I think we definitely ought to give her a big hug today for that, because Christmas ain't over, right? Christmas is not over, and I love that. When I walked in and I seen this, I was like, yes, I don't want this to go away. You do such a good job at it, but also, speaking of Christmas, Alyssa, I know what I want for Christmas. Actually, I was speaking with Devin before church started. He has a scope with a camera on his rifle. Anyways, we'll talk about that later. I'll jot that down right here to remind me. But we're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. That's our main scripture for today. And my question really for us today is, do you need a confirmation? Do you need a confirmation? And we're going to make light of that and what that means and what do I mean by that in a little bit. But 1 Peter chapter 4, if y'all could go with me in your Bibles. If not, it's right up here. I encourage you, though, open up your Bible if you have one and read it for yourself and know Scripture. Know Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting verse 1, it says this. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passion, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passion, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of the body, and they malign you. But they, verse 5, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. And I want to break this down verse by verse, and we've read our main passage of scripture today, but what I want to do is invite us back into verse 1, right? Verse 1, we're going to get the full depth of this, and I'm not even going to read the full verse, right? We're going to talk about half of the first verse, right? So let's talk about that. It says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh. Christ suffered in the flesh. What does that mean? What does that look like? And what do I have to say about this today? Well, therefore Christ suffered in the flesh. And we'll look at that. And what we see is that God himself literally created himself in human flesh to walk on earth just as we are, right? Because God, he knew that we needed a Savior. He knew that we needed a Savior. We needed to be saved from our sins. God himself in human flesh, in human form, Jesus Christ suffered in the flesh. And we see this. We see that this is true. God, we're talking about God, first of all. We're talking about Creator. We're talking about creation, everything that's created. He is over all things. He is Master. He is Father of all things. God himself in human flesh. And we call him Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he was born in human flesh. God. So, just to sort of back up what I'm talking about, we go to Genesis chapter 1, and it's simple. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the presence of God, God himself, was hovering over the face of the waters. This is the God we're talking about. The God, the same God that created himself in human form to walk as we get to walk. I need y'all to really pay attention this morning, because this drives me crazy when God laid this on my heart. And so he created himself in human form. We have Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, our Savior, Creator, God himself. And we see that in John chapter 1. It correlates with Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Well, now you can look through John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. When it says this, we know that Jesus Christ is God. I went up to the Sunday school upstairs today, and I think April had a book open, and she was flipping through, and I seen the question, and it says, is Jesus God? 100% you. 100% Jesus is God. And it says it right here in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, Jesus Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Jesus Christ, 100%, fully, not mistaken, God. God himself, human form. Well, how does he suffer? We read the verse, and it says this, half of it says, Christ suffered in the flesh. How did he suffer? Well, two ways. Two ways. And we'll talk about both of them, right? Because the first way, Jesus Christ actually walked on the earth, right? Jesus Christ, God himself, walked on the earth. He suffered in the flesh just like you did, just like we all did, right? We have personal struggles that nobody knows about in here. There are some deep secrets that are sitting in the pews right now that nobody knows about. You might struggle with something nobody would ever think you struggle with. to walk through the same temptations we have today. The enemy himself played with Jesus' mind and tried to get him to jump off of a cliff and tell him, hey, surely, since you're the Son of God, throw yourself off this cliff, commit suicide, basically, and surely God will save you. He would send his angels and save you. So not only was he tempted with suicide, but he was also tempted to test himself, to test his own power, God. He was tempted. And of course he overcame. Right? Darkness is not overcome. But of course he overcame it. And a lot of us in here were probably like, well, and I completely agree with this idea. It was probably easy for Jesus himself to overcome these temptations. I mean, first of all, he had to overcome. He had to overcome to set an example for us believers to know that Jesus has already overcome these temptations. He had to overcome them. And second of all, he has his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it was probably easy. I mean, we wasn't there, but I can imagine it was probably a lot easier for Jesus than it is for us to overcome these temptations. Y'all know what temptations I'm talking about, because I'm talking about temptations, not just suicide stuff, but drinking stuff and pornography and anger, right? And like, when I drive and somebody stops way before the red light, and I'm like, they're not going to pick you up because you got to hit the line. You got to go to that white bar. And they just sit and wave back, guilty. This morning, that was me, right before Dunkin' Donuts happened. And Alyssa was like, you did good. All the way until you hit Thomason. And that's a struggle, right? So we have these times in our lives where we might be alone, and we might be like, well, I just had a horrible day today. I had a rough day today, and I'm just going to drink me a beer. I'm not talking about just drinking you a beer or a glass of wine. All of that really don't matter to me. But I'm talking about the drinking part, right? Because a lot of us can't handle that stuff. A lot of us, if you drink one, it's going to lead to another, and it leads to another. Before you know it, I'm just going to get a little tipsy. I had a horrible day. But God's going to forgive me, because he's a forgiving God. We struggle. See, Jesus overcame. And whether it's easy or hard, who really knows? I'm assuming that it was easy since it was Jesus Christ, God himself. He had to do it. But he also suffered in another way. Let's talk about that. Therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh. The day of his crucifixion, whenever he was on that cross, he was dying. I mean, he, not only before the crucifixion, he walked. And he was being humiliated. People were challenging him all the time, questioning him. They were saying, Jesus, you're a straight liar. Like, you are a liar. Like, we hate when people call us out on things. And we hate even more when we make a mistake. And then we have to suffer from the consequences. Y'all ever done that? I'm the only one? I know I'm not the only one. Listen, we suffer from consequences when we make mistakes. Whether it be a lie that you said, whether it be action that you did, and now you got to suffer from it. Christ suffered in the flesh. And actually, he did it for us. Right? We did it for, look, we haven't even got into the message yet. So y'all hang in there. I need y'all to bring it in, because Christ suffered in the flesh, and the second way he did was not only throughout his walk, he walked in the flesh, but he also was on the cross, and he was being crucified. He was stripped of his dignity. I mean, he was completely just, right? He was crucified. Yeah, we all know that, but how he suffered in the flesh, not only painfully did he suffer physically in the flesh, but also in Scripture, it shows us, in Scripture where it says, Jesus cried out and he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? You see, the other stuff might have been easy for him to overcome. The temptations that we struggle with, it's probably easy for him to overcome. But that day when he was being crucified on the cross and he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? at that moment, he literally, because he is God and he can, he literally separated himself from his own presence. And he was completely in human form. I mean, he was always, you know, in human form, but that moment, he was separated from God himself. And he was naked. And he was facing all the pain and all the suffering, all the sin that we brought to him. And he literally suffered in the flesh. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh. We got a picture of that now, right? Christ suffered in the flesh. Let's continue. The next half of verse 1. I'm just playing. We're going to hit the next half of verse 1 and verse 2. We're getting somewhere, y'all. So here we go. So, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Let's stop there. Has ceased from sin. So, therefore, arm yourselves. Scripture shows us. Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh, walking in your body, and you have sinned, you have lied, you have, you know, whatever you might do, and your spouse might not even know about it. You might hurt your spouse on accident or on purpose. You might be a young man or a young woman in here, and you're struggling with lust and greed, and you're just struggling with these things that are sinful. So whoever has suffered in the flesh, all right, has ceased from sin, has died from sin. So if you made a mistake, I have. You have died from sin. Like, you're suffering in the flesh. So arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has died from sin. Verse 2. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh. So we see that. So as to live for the rest of the time, walking, for as you live the rest of your life out in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. No longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Verse 3 says this, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. And I'm going to read this list of stuff that the author listed. And I know this relates to us today. Living in sensuality, the sexual desires that men and women struggle with, that you just have to have, that moment when you're alone and you're being tempted with that pornography, or you're being tempted when you're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whichever one that you want to be on, and you see somebody, a guy that just looks way better than your husband, and you're like, man, hold on, let me get that second look. Yeah, he's pretty nice. Or that woman where it's like, oh, okay. And that's that moment right there where you struggle, that living in sensuality. Passions. You're living out your passions, your flesh. Are you angry? Well, it's all right to be angry. It is okay to be angry. Go ahead and be angry. But while you're at it, your passions, your flesh tell you, since you're angry, just go ahead and take it out on everybody else around you. Because your kids deserve it. Right? Go ahead and take it out on your husband or your wife because you're angry. And that's what you want to do. You angry. Drunkenness, right? You have that horrible day, you want to take the little beer, one beer too far. Just to have that little tipsy moment where you're a little bit out your mind. When you know the scripture says, stay sober minded. Orgies and relate right back to pornography. Drinking parties and lawless idolatry. Whenever you idolize a thing that you just love the most, whether it be a vehicle or whether it be a TV or whether it be a cell phone or somebody else that you have no idea who they are, you just want to be like them, and that's idolatry. You want to be like somebody else, but you don't want to be like the God that you need to be like, Jesus. And see, these are the things, I'm not getting on to nobody, I'm myself included, because these are the things that we struggle with in the flesh. Remember our verse, arm yourselves with the same thing, for whoever has suffered in the flesh, that's us. this stuff that we're talking about. We have struggled with this our whole life. We have struggled with this. You know, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more because as we live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. So Scripture tells us that we ought to live for the rest of our time as we walk around in our lives and for the will of God, no longer for human passions. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Did you know that Scripture actually tells us that we are predestined to bear the image of Jesus Christ? Right? A lot of us in here have a relationship with God, and we are called into relationship with God. The Scripture shows us in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. I might as well finish that. In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. But Scripture shows us that we are actually predestined. I don't know what your belief is on that, if you believe in predestination or free will. But I believe that we are predestined to bear the image of Christ. I believe, since Scripture tells us right here that we are called into relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of us might not have a relationship in here. We might be like, well, I don't know where I stand with Jesus right now. But I'm coming to church. But that day, a lot of us have experienced that day where we're like, okay, I'm going to start going to church today. I believe in Jesus today. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. That day that we have had in the past, a lot of times we forget. We forget that day. And the reason we forget that day is because life is hard. I know I'm not just talking about from my personal experiences. I know we all have these experiences. There's people in here right now that are struggling with things. But life is so dark right now, and they just need answers to prayers. And they don't know what to do next. They don't know how to let go of this sin. Or they don't know what decision they have to make. There's people in here where life is crucial, and it's bearing down on you, and you really just don't know what to do. But we're predestined to bear the image of Jesus. That's what it says in Romans. To those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus, God himself. So Jacob, bro, how do I go through all this stuff, and how do I do this, and how do I bear the image of Jesus? And I have all this stuff going on, and it's easier said than done, Jacob. You're absolutely right. I completely agree with you. It is so much easier to talk about it than to do it. But we have to do it. We have to do it. See, in these times, we have to realize that Jesus Christ, if we go back to our first verse in 1 Peter, it says, therefore Christ suffered in the flesh. So Christ suffered in the flesh. It says this. It says, for the rest of it, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. So it brings us right back to our first verse. Everything we're talking about, all the struggles, and what we do with that, it takes us right back to the first verse. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. And what does that mean? It means that as Jesus, God himself, walked, he decided that he was going to bear more of his Holy Spirit and keep himself godly. He was going to rather choose godliness over sinfulness. He chose that in those moments of sensations when he was hungry and he was hangry and he was tired and he was thirsty and people were just calling him a liar. They're trying to trap him and all these different things, trying to twist his words up. In those moments, man, because we face those, in those moments, and even while he was by himself, he chose to put on godliness himself, more of himself than sin. He chose us. So Scripture shows us that we ought to arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. That only makes sense, right? Because in Romans, you we ought to arm ourselves with the same mindset that Jesus Christ had, God Himself had. Why? Because we ought to no longer live for human passion, but for the will of God. You know, those human passions that we struggle with, that before that day, well, we still struggle with, but before that day when you said, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus, or I'm going to start going to church, I'm going to start reading my Bible, I'm going to start praying, I believe in Jesus now, I'm starting to understand a little bit of this stuff. That moment when you start to understand that stuff, you are no longer sinning and not conscious about it. You see, before I used to sin and not care anything about it. I just did it. And I didn't think anything of it. But now that I was called into a relationship and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, now I know, now when I do sin, I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm sinning, I'm suffering in the flesh. That makes sense now, right? I'm suffering in the flesh. All this comes to light now. Romans says that we ought to be predestined. We are predestined. We ought to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, because we should arm ourselves with the same way of thinking that Jesus did. Right? Well, are you sure? Yeah, well, in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, strive for peace with everyone, and for the holy, and set apart. And the only thing in this world that is very set apart from everything else in this world is God. Without which no one will see the Lord. And so now, Romans chapter 8 makes a lot more sense when we're predestined to bear the image of Christ. Yeah, you have a relationship with Him, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes we need the confirmation, right? Sometimes do you need that confirmation, because sometimes we need to remember where we are and who we are, who we're called to be, right? Because a lot of times we forget, and then we forget that we ought to discipline, we ought to practice, we ought to walk each and every day, each and every moment, and put on godliness and put ourselves away. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, it says, for those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh along with its passions and desires. That means crucify. That word crucify, and it takes us back to the first verse of 1 Peter, where it says, arm ourselves in the same way of thinking, because Christ Himself suffered in the flesh. He literally was crucified. Then we ought to literally, I mean, now I'm not going to say crucify yourself, but I'm saying we ought to take off our sinful ways, our passions, and our desires, and crucify Jesus. I want my flesh to be less of me, Lord, and more of You, Jesus. Lord, let You just overcome my body, my soul, my heart, my mind, my eyes, my feet, my hands, everything. Jesus, more of You, please, Jesus. That's what this scripture means. We ought to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. What? Time runs by quickly. But that's what it says in Hebrews. I go back to 1 Peter. We're about to wrap this thing up. But it says this from verse 4 on down to verse 6. It says, with respect to this, they are surprised. Those people in your life, right? Maybe you have a crowd of people that you can't help but gossip around, right? You go to them, and man, you can't help but gossip about this person, right? You just talk so much about it. And in that moment, you know it's wrong. But with respect to this, if we are putting on more godliness and putting ourselves down less, and we're disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness, then we ought to be the ones who bear the image of Jesus. And in that moment of decision where we're like, okay, what do I do? I know this is wrong, but I'm still going to do it. In that moment, you ought to be the one that says, you know what? I hope Jesus just comes into their lives. But when you do that, verse 4 says, with respect to this, some of those people are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood as Bacchus, and they lie. But they will give account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And I want to talk about that, and I know time is running out, but y'all hang in there a minute. And He's ready to judge the living and the dead. He says the living. The living, it means the ones who have relationship with Jesus. The dead means the ones that do not have a relationship with Jesus. I was like that. without a relationship with Jesus, that means my soul was completely empty. I had no Savior. I was just walking empty. I was dead. I was just dead. I was with no purpose. My life had no purpose. And I was okay with that. But the living will be judged as well. So the living and the dead. Verse 6. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, even to the ones without relationship, right? That though judged in the flesh the way people are, the way that we walk, though judged in the flesh the way that we walk, they might live in the spirit the way God. They might arm themselves with the same way of thinking, the way Christ did when he suffered in the flesh. So, I want to wrap this up. I want to close this out this morning, afternoon. And actually, I'm going to close this out in a whole new passage while I pop it up on y'all. Actually, we're going to close out in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I need y'all to listen to this. Y'all listen to this because this closes up everything we talked about. This wraps up everything we talked about. So please listen to this, okay? It's crucial. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Do you need a confirmation? And we're going to answer that question and clear that question up. What the heck does that mean? This is it. Verse 3. Starting with verse 3. Please follow. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Oh, listen. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Don't we struggle with that today? The corruption of this world is from our sinful desires today. We struggle with this. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement, completely enhance your faith with virtue. Right? Virtue, behavior, showing high moral value. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness. Keep going. And steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. Jacob, I just don't know what to do next. Well, I want to read you a quote from Elizabeth Elliot. Her husband was a missionary, and he was murdered in a different country. He was murdered in this tribe, and a couple years after that, she's an author, but she was a missionary, and she went and lived in the same tribe that killed her husband. She spread the gospel, and this is what she said. Does it make sense to pray for guidance about the future if we are not obeying in the thing that lies before us today? How many momentous events in Scripture depended on one person's seemingly small act of obedience? Rest assured, do what God tells you to do now and depend upon it. You will be shown what to do. I love that. That relates to us because when we struggle in that moment, we struggle with these qualities. Virtue, self-control, knowledge, steadfastness, godliness, putting on the godliness, we struggle. We must obey. We must discipline. Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. And that's some of us today. We forgot that we were cleansed from our former sins. And we decide to still live hard, I know. But it is doable. We must bear God to be more like Jesus, because we are predestined, we are called to look more like Jesus. Without it, people won't know Jesus. People won't see you. When you talk to people, they ought to hear Jesus. When you are in a room with people, you mention Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Verse 10, do you need a confirmation? Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. But some of us lack this quality. Sometimes we forget that moment where we accepted Jesus as our Savior. And we need a confirmation. Like in verse 10, to be more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Any of y'all forgot your password on Facebook or Instagram or an email password or Amazon account? You never forget your password and you go and you type it in and you're like, surely this is it. Nope, not it. And then it's like, okay, you got options. It says forget username ? Or forget password ? And you can click on it. And when you click on it, it takes you to a whole new screen and it does one or two things. One, it either sends a confirmation text or email to your phone or email account. That way it gives you like a 5-digit number and it shows you, it gives you a temporary password, and then whenever you do that, it brings you to another screen to make a new password. You ever done that? I don't. Don't need to. And you get to that new screen where you're creating, it says new password. That box says new password. And you're like, well, I'm not going to forget this one. I use this for everything. I'm not going to forget it this time. This is it. And boom. And you put your new password in, but then there's a box underneath that says confirm password. And the reason that's there is because you create your new one, but the website, the account, it wants you to confirm it, to make sure this is your password. This is your password, and this is it. You will not forget it. You cannot forget it. This is it. This is your new password, right? And so you go to the confirmation, like, boom, this is it. I hope I, you know, you can't see it because it's black dots. I'm like, man, I wish I could see it. But then you press submit, and then it says, boom, new password created. See, we have that new password. That new password symbolizes that day that we have stepped in, we have decided, and we were called into new life in Christ. We have a new password that we have, and we stepped into it, and we are called into this new way of life from Jesus Christ to put away our human passions and desires and to put on more God. But sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we have to revisit. And then whenever we revisit that, because we forget it, we have to confirm. Do you need a confirmation? Do you need to confirm your password this morning? Do you need to rememberize and remember? You are called higher. And you are called to bear the image of Christ. I love this. Now, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling, your password, your new way of life. Remember, all right, I got to take a step out and remember that I am brand new in Jesus Christ. And He has forgiven my sins, my former sins, and I am called to live in God. Then it says this in verse 11. It says, well, if you practice those qualities, you would never fall, which is awesome. In verse 11, it says, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know the walk is rough, but we must discipline ourselves for the purpose of God. Read your Bible enough. I mean, yes, you ought to discipline yourself and read it, even when you don't feel like it. But that's not going to get you in heaven. We don't read the Bible to get to heaven. I know people that know the Bible more than I do, and then they don't believe in Jesus. This won't get you, reading it won't get you into it. The reason we read the Bible, we discipline ourselves because the more you repeat repeat it. Scripture says that we ought to meditate on it. It should be engraved in our hearts and in our brains and in our souls. And the more we read it, the more we are reminded of our new password, our new way of life. And with the more we read it, we confirm each and every day, we confirm, all right, I'm a child of God. I am a new creation. I'm walking in His Spirit. I need His righteousness. The Bible says that if we're not righteous, His face is against those who are not righteous. His ears are not open to the unrighteous. It says that 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Go read it. But I'm saying, we forget that and we need to confirm. So closing out today. Basically, it's a question I've already asked. So you need to confirm your passion. You need to confirm your relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus. Lord, I know I go through things. And I know our congregation, the people in here, we go through life, and we go through things, we go through personal struggles. And a lot of times it's hard to decide godliness rather than ourselves and our selfishness. But Lord, in those moments, I pray, Jesus, will you give us enough discipline and help us practice to put on more of you and more godliness than our sinfulness. Lord, will you help us remember our calling into the relationship that we have with you. And Lord, if we don't have a relationship with you, if you're that person in here, and we don't have that relationship with you this morning, but you might be thinking about it, or you might not even know right now. But if you're that person and we have that person in here, Jesus, I pray. Lord, let them hear your message this morning and realize that we are called into relationship with our Creator who suffered in the flesh just as much as we suffer in the flesh. Jesus, help us remember our password and confirm it. Be sure that we are followers.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.